from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, day one of a new partnership we've got with 12 News. We are streaming live now here. On our regular video platforms, you'll find us on Facebook, YouTube, X, and on 12 News Connected, 12 News Plus. You can find that very easily if you go to kwch.com. You can also find it on their social medias. You might have just gotten a push alert. Fun day in store today for our launch. We're excited to be here with you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester. Big show as we celebrate this new partnership. Coming up in about, 10 minutes from right now, Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo will join the show. First time we've had a chance to talk to J.J. Piccolo since he has taken on that role. One of the more incredible off seasons in Major League Baseball this year now parlays into a very interesting trade deadline for Piccolo and staff, and we will see exactly what they want to do. We'll ask him how aggressive they're trying to be, get through all the latest with him. And then immediately following that interview, we have Kansan of the Year on his way to be celebrated that way. Voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, will join us as well to get us all caught up on the Chiefs offseason. Looking forward to that conversation, as always, with Mitch, as we are sort of in the dog days, getting ready to start training camp later this month and all kinds of good stuff there. We'll also take you through our usual here on a Monday. We'll get you caught up from the weekend. We will have giveaways for you. We're going to give away some NBC World Series tickets. We're going to give away some HTO, so you won't want to miss either opportunity to get your hands on those. Everything's available to you to chime in on the IHOP hotline. 869-1240 is that number, as always. You can also leave us your comments on those video streams. We can get those comments and we can react to them live here on the air. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Happy Monday. Good to see you. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm excited that we are underway here, this, I guess, new era, quote unquote, of Sports Daily, which, it's funny that we have this great partnership now and relationship with 12 News, but that relationship goes back a long time. I mean, all the way back to the origins of this particular program, almost 25 years ago. And so it's great. I'm so excited to be here and looking forward to getting into it today.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Jad Chambers is producing this for us. So we'll sort of get you set up here as we get ready for J.J. Piccolo. A short segment off the top, a little shorter than we normally would, but we got to hit his deadlines here. So it'll be a lot of fun. Let's just, set the table for the Royals, who dropped 2 out of 3 in Colorado. That's certainly disappointing, Tommy, as we get ready for that. We'll spend some time with the Royals here for the first 30 minutes or so. There's no way to slice it. That's a disappointing weekend. Now back to 9 games behind Cleveland, 3 games behind Minnesota, a game and a half behind Boston. Now, the good news with Boston is they play them a ton coming up down the stretch. But, you know, we have to sort of look at this. Houston's going to be coming on strong at some point, right? Houston, Boston, Minnesota, Yankees / Orioles, and the Royals are going to have to beat out one of those teams if they want to reach the postseason. This is an interesting time, and dropping 2 out of 3 on the road in Colorado is a tough pill to swallow, I think.
Yeah, you know, of course, they played a really good game yesterday and put up a ton of runs. Finally, the offense sort of came alive. It took the third game of the 3-game set for them to finally figure that out. And so you walk away, you know, at least winning the finale of that series. At least they didn't get swept by the Rockies, but still falls way short of the expectations that I think we all had for the Royals in this weekend series. Colorado's not a good baseball team. And so you thought that, you know, going into this series, that at minimum they would take 2 of 3, if not sweep the Rockies. They weren't able to get that done. It's going to make the next week that much more difficult, considering they play a resurgent Cardinals team, you know, and then of course they get ready to roll into the All-Star break. They've got to finish this first half of baseball on a strong note, or once again, you know, we're going to be talking about them completely basically out of the playoff race.
I think we got to look at, and we'll talk to JJ Piccolo about this and how they evaluated. I really do think we have to think of this as a race to X number of wins. It's just there are too many teams to try and sit here every day and wonder, like, well, what is everybody else going to do? When in reality, if you can just sort of set, like, you remember in Major League where you had in the original and they would, like, tear off the little, you know, the piece of the cardboard cutout to, like, to have this destiny. It almost feels like they got to just get to a number of wins. I think 92 is going to be, you know, probably the minimum. Just looking at the teams that are in there, there's a battle of attrition in there too. So it could be lower, but I think if you think of it that way, it's going to be good. And the reality of what that means is they're going to have to be better down the stretch than they have been so far, just slightly. But they at least have to be as good, but even just a little bit better, 2-3 wins better than what they've been thus far in the season down the stretch if they want to reach that goal. That's where we get into things like the trade deadline. And I think that's also where you can sort of set everybody else aside, right? Like, no matter what anybody else is doing. Because if you think of it that way, it's like it's maddening to try and imagine, like, what is this team doing? What is this team doing? If you just focus on the Royals and think they got to be 2 or 3 games better than they've been thus far, can they do that? Well, if you think of it that way, then the clear answer for the trade deadline is they got to get a little bit better. And so we'll find out. We'll get to the bottom of that with JJ Piccolo here in just a few minutes. But it is an interesting time and an interesting part of the schedule. They get a lot of days off here. They get this one and another one before the All-Star break. So, you know, it's going to happen, you know, quickly, but you know, there is emphasis, obviously, and urgency in these next handful of games before the All-Star break to go win some of them, because they're A, against good teams, and then, yeah, I think, you know, we're not going to ignore the elephant in the room that it's a series in Boston against a team you're directly square up against, and they'll get their pitchers in that. By the way, Brady Singer's ERA is now below 3. Isn't that crazy? Cole Reagan's the All-Star. Cole Reagan's the All-Star is 5-6 with, what is he at, 3.28 ERA. Brady Singer's sitting here 5-5 with a 2.93, giving a Rodney Dangerfield routine. Like, Singer's been great, and it's wild. But, you know, maybe we ought to start calling him the, you know, maybe there's a three-headed ace there in Kansas City. But he continues to pitch well. But you get all three of those guys with Lugo in that series against Boston. Should be fun. And we're going to get into it. Coming up next, we're going to get into it with J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager. First time we've been able to get him in on the program, so we're looking forward to this conversation. Hey, thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. All those folks tuning in via KWCH, welcome to the fun here on Sports Daily. Everybody else who's been, you know, watching us, Facebook, YouTube, X, glad you can still do that. You guys can leave your comments and we'll get to those. And of course, thanks to everybody listening to us on KFH, the good old-fashioned way. Odyssey app available for you as well. Baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. JJ Pecola joins the conversation on Sports Daily right after this. All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
On your way to work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com? You can. Just download the app. Visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. You can download the Odyssey app today to get started. You can go back and listen to our great conversation we're about to have with Royals General Manager J.J. Pecola. Welcome back to Sports Daily. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Caster, joined by J.J. Pecola. First time for us on the program. J.J., how are you this morning?
Doing well, Jacob. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We're excited for this conversation. We'll look forward in a minute. I got to say, like, this has been so much fun the last, what are we looking at now, about 4 months to have the Royals in contention. You're getting a lot of flowers kind of from everywhere, so we'll give them to you here right now. That offseason you guys put together to get this thing turned around, pretty impressive. How rewarding is that to sit here and see this team doing that and the guys that you've brought in the offseason, which people have been begging for, to be having as much success as they've been having this year?
Well, it's been great, and it's really honestly been even better for our fans, and that's first and foremost what we know our job is to put a good product on the field so our fans can enjoy coming to the K or watching us on television or streaming, whatever it may be. And, you know, that's as rewarding as anything else. And, you know, to see the work that our scouting departments put in, our R&D departments to identify players that could help us put together a quality team. It's nice from that perspective as well. So we've still got a long way to go, but for the first 80-some games, it's been fun to watch.
You know, really specifically the pitching staff, JJ, and you know, talking about this rotation and watching the way that overall they've performed through the first half of this season. You know, from top to bottom, I'm not sure there's a better rotation in Major League Baseball. And, you know, you've got two all-stars that are in the pitching rotation in Lugo and Reagans. As you guys have, you know, these conversations about what the rest of this season will look like, how important is it from your perspective that, you know, you've basically got your pitching rotation, at least the starting rotation, set and ready to go and built for an October run potentially for this team?
Well, it's nice to be going into the trade deadline not needing a starting pitcher. Now, you can always use starting pitching because it's a fragile thing, but at least the way we stand right now, the five that we have are doing a great job, and we just got Chris Bubich back, who we're going to use out of the bullpen right now, but we know he's a starter as well, so there's some depth there. But it's great in the fact that every night we know we have a chance to win. They're going to give us 6 to 7 innings on a very regular basis. There's been very few games where we've had to throw, you know, say 6-plus innings out of our bullpen. I think it's only happened maybe 2 or 3 times, which is, you know, a great way to go. But what's happening right now is the starting rotation is just feeding off of one another. You know, you mentioned the two all-stars in Seth and Cole. That's really cool. First time in organization history that we've had two starters named to the All-Star team. And quite honestly, you know, Brady Singer, minus the win-loss record, you know, he's a sub-3 ERA right now as well. So there's a lot of good things happening. But we knew, you know, every team knows this. This isn't anything new. But we knew late June, early July, we were going to have to figure out how can we get this rotation in a good spot. And we had a little bit of a head start because we weren't competing for a wild card or a divisional championship last year. And we were able to start identifying what pitchers may help us. And it's not just ability, but you know, who fits in the clubhouse and the makeup and who has the toughness and the desire to pitch deep in the games. And again, our scouting and R&D department did a great job in identifying the right players.
JJ Piccolo joining us, general manager, Kansas City Royals. So now the attention shifts to the trade deadline. How do you guys evaluate this? I mean, is there any question still on hold pat, be aggressive? I mean, obviously, I don't think you guys are going to be sellers, but is that evaluation process still happening, or do you know yet what the goal is, and it's just a matter of figuring out how to get there?
Yeah, we have a good idea. I mean, we've got a pretty large body of work right now with the approaching 90 games played. We have a good idea of what we could possibly use to help us out. I think what we have to keep in mind is that we'd like to think this is just the beginning of a window that's going to be open for us to win games for a lot of years to come. And I'd like to think that there's some players on and some that are doing it right now. You know, an MJ Melendez, a Hunter Renfroe, those two are swinging the bat much better right now than they did the first couple months of the season. So that's encouraging. And then getting Chris back and being a part of the bullpen, that's going to help. But at the same time, you know, there's some things we think we could potentially add to our club that would just make us deeper, whether it's another bat, whether it's another arm or two in the bullpen. You know, they're the things we're weighing out right now. And, you know, I think the acquisition cost is going to have a lot to do with what we're able to bring in, if anything. But we certainly have been active, working the phones, doing our research and our prep work. That started weeks ago. So we have a good understanding what the lay of the land is. The complicated thing right now is there's so many teams that are still in the race, and that's great for baseball. It's exciting, and that's, you know, the additional playoff spots. That's what baseball wanted, and, you know, what it does create is a little bit of a logjam as we're going into July here and getting towards the end of the month of who's going to move players and who's not. And all it takes is, say, an 8-game winning streak or losing streak, and that landscape completely changes. You know, so we've just got to keep an eye on it and stay focused on what we can do day to day. If it's an off day today, but the two come up in St. Louis, you know, take care of business there and hopefully continue to do what we've been doing so we can be active and open as we get to the deadline.
Yeah, I think that brings up a really good point, JJ, as far as the logjam in the standings right now and you know, sort of how these teams are jockeying for position, especially when it comes to potentially a wild card spot. How do you evaluate that in your role? I know you mentioned having a window in your mind of opportunity to win a lot of baseball games for a long time to come versus being uber aggressive and going all in and saying, okay, we've got the pieces right now to be able to go and be a playoff team and maybe potentially win a championship. You've got the franchise cornerstone and Bobby Witt Jr. locked up long term. Obviously, Salvador Perez is another all-star and incredible player. How do you evaluate that versus, like, there are so many teams that are competing for these few wild card spots? Do we go all in now? Do we sit back and wait? How do you manage that?
Well, I'd like to think that this offseason, you know, I'll use the term we went all in, but, you know, it might be a little bit strong saying that in the offseason. But we were pretty aggressive in the offseason to be in this spot right now. And now it kind of shifts to, okay, we, you know, if the season ended today, we would be just shy of making the playoffs. But if we can win 85 to 90 games this year, it's quite the improvement from last year to this year, and that was the first step we needed to take. But, you know, what we do need to take into consideration is there are a lot of players, you know, Bobby and Salvi being two of them, that committed to this organization long term, and then we had the free agents that committed to us as well. And you do feel somewhat of an obligation to the men in that clubhouse to help this team take another step. I think we'll keep competing the remainder of the year with the guys that we have. But if we can enhance the team just enough and still keep an eye on the future, we'd be doing the right thing. So, you know, we believe in our players. We believe players can get better. We still have some players in our lineup almost every day that are going to continue to get better as major league players. And with their progression, the team should get better as well. But adding a player or two along the way certainly would enhance that and give us a better chance to make this run and get one of those spots in the playoffs.
Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo joining us here on Sports Daily. It's really interesting because, owing something to the players, but I want to go back to what the first thing you said was how great this has been for the fans. Does that change philosophy? Can you let it change philosophy that it has gone slower, in the last, let's call it a decade, I guess it's been now. It's gone slower to get back to that point than I think everybody had hoped. Does that add or change anything as you look at this when you talk about, how fun this has been for the fans this year?
Well, I think because we were fortunate enough to be here 10 years ago with the start of really a few really good years, you saw how this fan base reacted to the club. And, after the 15th season, there were some things that were pretty unfortunate that had happened with, especially in the 16th season with an injury to Moustakas and Gordo on a collision that, really hurt our chances and probably ended our chances to make the playoffs that year. But it's been a slow climb, and when you look at sort of the evolution of teams, the teams that are able to maintain throughout, they've been very aggressive and creative in deals they made along the way, and sometimes that means trading some of your players that are in the prime years of their career to try to multiply and getting players back. During those years, we were playing players from within the organization to get to this point. So it's a painful process to go through. Last year was not a lot of fun for anybody. But when you look at how players have improved and the positions they're in today, you have a better understanding of why we went through those growing pains last year. But at the same time, you got to compliment ownership with their commitment to allowing us to be aggressive in the free agent market. And when I examine teams that we play that have been in the playoffs for the last several years, most of them are a combination of homegrown players and quality trades or free agent acquisitions, and there's more of a blend of the two, and that's what we have on the field right now. But we still need to continue to have our farm system supply us with talent, because it's going to be a never-ending chase to put quality teams on the field. So the growing pains were tough. The fans understand that as much as anybody, and to see them excited about our team, it is motivating. It is something, to have 30,000 people here is a goal of ours, because that means we're doing our job well and our fans are enjoying the product we have on the field. So, you don't want that process to be too long. This previous one went more years than we cared for it to go. But all we can do is look forward and learn from what we went through the last few years and do it better the next time around.
We won't make you sit here and play politics and guess it, whether you think, you could be playing in front of us in the state of Kansas. But yeah, history has shown, I think, the success has brought the fans. And I know that all matters right now. One more for you, JJ, and we really appreciate the conversation. We'll have to do this again soon. We've had a lot of conversations here, a lot of listeners, viewers reacting and commenting. Can you just as easily as you can walk us through the thought process of Bobby Witt Jr. not being a leadoff hitter when so many star players like him are? What has been the thinking there at having him two and not one? And I know it's, five, six at bats over the course of a season, but can you explain to us where things stand with him and his placement there?
Yeah, well, for one, when Mikel's going good and he's on base, it allows us to play the type of game we really want to play. And that's, run the bases hard, put the game in motion with two exciting players like that. We also like Bobby to come up with somebody on base, and I know we're searching and trying to figure out who that person is. But probably the most influential part of that is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Bobby has excelled in that two hole. And, we don't want to slow him up at all. He prefers to hit in a two hole. We've discussed with him about the leadoff spot. He would do whatever we asked him to do, just because that's his nature. He's such a team guy. But he's said enough that, he's comfortable where he's at. And, we've been able to put together some pretty good runs. I know it's been a little hot and cold lately, but for a long time there, we were in the top six or seven in runs per game. And I believe that we can continue to do that. And, you know, when Michael gets going again, or we, you know, last night it was Frazier, we've had Lofton up there. If those guys can get on base for him, then we got a chance to really, instead of a single run, we got a chance to put up a crooked run, and that's what we're trying to do. So at least for now, that's the way we're going to go. I really don't see that changing, just because of how comfortable we are with Bobby in the two-hole.
There you go. That's there's the answer. And look, hey, you guys, I know the players get days off this week. We know you guys won't there in the front office. So good luck. Keep at it this week. We'll be excited to see what comes over the next month or so. All-Star game right around the corner. We appreciate it, JJ. Let's do this again soon. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us here for a few minutes on Sports Daily.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you having me on. Hopefully we continue to entertain and we can have more conversations.
We will. Well, the trade deadline is going to be one to watch. Of course, this is the home of Kansas City Royals baseball. We'll be listening in. There goes J.J. Piccolo, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. That's a great conversation. We're going to react to that in just a little bit. We've got back-to-back interviews today, so you know, bear with us on that. You can, of course, go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app in its full. These video streams make that available for you as well. So hang in there. We'll react to J.J. Piccolo. Really appreciate his time. We're going to come back. Mitch Holthus joins us right after this, help celebrate our launch here, our partnership, our simulcast with 12 News Plus. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming right up.
To get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster joining you here on this launch day for our simulcast with 12 News Connected to help us celebrate that. And joining the show for the first time this summer, this offseason, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs since 1994, Mitch Holthus, in the middle of a very busy time, which we'll get to in a second. Mitch, thanks for being here with us on launch day. How are you?
Well, it's awesome. Exciting on launch day. To be on the rocket ship. So, yeah, for sure. And we're excited, obviously, in the Chiefs Kingdom and getting ready to roll.
Well, let's get to Chiefs Kingdom in a second, because you are, I think, here soon, or just have, you're on your way to the Capitol. Kansan of the Year for 2024. Yeah. Been given that by the Kansas Society of Washington, D.C. Tell us about this experience. I know this has to mean a lot as a native Kansan, but what a cool honor, and what exactly is happening for you there?
Well, I'm completely blown away and humbled by it. I love this state, as those who know me well know, from Elkhart to Elwood and St. Francis to St. John to St. Paul. It's our entire congressional group is represented. The whole delegation, the two senators and the four representatives, are involved with the society. So it's apolitical, and they honor a Kansan of the Year. And honestly, it reminds me of those old Sesame Street skits. One of these things doesn't belong, because the list of previous winners have been General Eisenhower posthumously, Bill Self, Bill Snyder, General Myers, and I'm thinking, what am I doing in here? Amelia Earhart, I think, is in there. So it's been public servants, it's been public figures, it's been people generally who not only love Kansas but have served Kansas. And the thing that I appreciate about this award this year is the fact that it basically is honoring, or at least acknowledging, the work that I've done throughout the state that is not related to the Chiefs or always necessarily related to sports. And there's a lot of folks in Wichita that I've worked with on separate projects for the state. In fact, we were just involved in one this spring where I spoke to a group of entrepreneurs, and your governor, who I'm a fan of, your mayor, who I'm a fan of, was there. But anyway, there's just been tons of projects throughout the years in the state of Kansas that I've been involved with. And again, it's a labor of love for the state. So I'm excited to be honored by the society in D.C., and we're en route as we speak.
Mitch, I had the honor of being at that event here in Wichita where you spoke to the entrepreneurs. It was a great event, and and I'm right there with you. It seems like between, you know, Kansan of the Year and White House visits and all of these, you know, different things for Super Bowl championships and all of that, you're jet setting all over the place. Do you sleep much?
No, and you guys said off season. I'm not sure there was or has been an off season for a while. And truthfully, Matt McMullen, our senior team reporter, who I really, really enjoy working with, he came up, and this is empirical, this isn't just some thought, is that this is the shortest offseason in NFL history for any team. Because the Super Bowl went all the way until nearly Valentine's Day on the 12th, I believe, of February, and we're going to crank it up. We start the regular season, of course, on the 5th of September. But it's been a short off season, and even we just call it the non-playing season now, the non-game season, because the Chiefs Kingdom is so excited about what's going on, not only on the field but off the field, because we now have become the epicenter of the NFL, and I say that humbly, but we've also become a little bit of the epicenter of professional sports. When you look at the personalities of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and then a Hall of Fame coach in Andy Reid. And it's not in Dallas, it's not in New York, it's not in Detroit. It's in with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Kansas City Chiefs, we know, are unique in the fact that they represent more than just the metro area of Kansas City. One of the things I'm proud of is I came up with the moniker Chiefs Kingdom, because I basically grew up 4 hours from Kansas City, but that's the Chiefs Kingdom. Smith Center is the Chiefs Kingdom. So is Wichita. Wichita's a hotbed of kingdom activity and interest. So there's so much excitement. That means all of these communities, all of them, from small town to big town, from Northwest Arkansas to Sioux City, Iowa, or north, are wanting to do events. And there's fundraisers, and there's nonprofits, and there's great causes. It's just opened up the floodgates. Like, you're going to open up, you know, your Cheney Lake is going to let go of the floodgates. That's what it feels like. So some of that, a lot of that's a first world problem, but still, it has been, there's just only so much capacity. And so it's been a very interesting non-playing season since we won the Super Bowl.
Mitch Holthus, voices the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us. So the offseason is about to turn to football. We're close to training camp. It's been an interesting offseason, I think, for a lot of good reasons, but a lot of reasons that probably aren't so good. And as we look at this season, we still don't know what the wide receiver room will look like as it pertains to Rashi Rice and how many games he might miss. But we know Hollywood Brown is there now. No matter what happens, it does feel to me like this is a better group, a more talented group, let's say, than it was a year ago. How have you evaluated that room, even with some of the uncertainty there, on knowing they won a Super Bowl with a lot of uncertainty there, and it seems like now they're more talented?
Well, I'll give you a micro answer about that room, but it leads to a macro answer about the entire team and what I've been able to observe in the past 90 to 100 days, which have included OTAs and mini camps. But that room, I'll just say this, and it's been Matt and I do a podcast called Defending the Kingdom, which we get a lot of folks in Wichita that will watch that. And we mentioned that the third level of the offense is open for business again. Think of Tyreek Hill and what the Chiefs were like in 21, 20, 19, 18, when Tyreek was one of the main receivers. All right, that's back in play again with Hollywood Brown. And also Xavier Worthy. Now, one of the disappointments of the offseason, or the non-playing season, was the fact that Worthy injured a hamstring during rookie minicamp and missed the OTA workouts, which for our team are very important. But the rest of the room is good. If not, it's much better, to answer your question. And I'll throw in names that people don't know about, a guy like Nico Remigio, who last year was challenging to make the team at a wide receiver and was injured right at the end of training camp. Well, he's got a shot now to be a member of that force that includes Xavier Worthy and Rashi Rice whenever we have him. And then don't throw out guys like Justin Watson, who has been very productive and make big catches in these two Super Bowls back-to-back. and won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. So that's a really good room. They're better. That's the micro answer. The macro answer is this entire team could be better. You know, you can ask me about where I think the challenges are. Some are obvious, some are not so obvious. But I'm telling you, Steve Spagnuolo's defense could be much better. This is a deep group.
Really?
This is a deep group. The class of 2022 are now becoming juniors. They had an incredible freshman year. The sophomore year, they're 43-0 in the playoffs, guys. I'm giving you a long answer here. That group is a center force. Okay, so this is Trent McDuffie. This is George Karloftis. This is Brian Cook. This is Nazi Johnson. This is Leo Chenault. That bunch of guys, with Justin Reed added in as an undrafted or unrestricted free agent a couple years ago, this defense, guys, could be a force, and I expect them to be even better defensively than they were a year ago.
Wow. That's a big...
I'm not blowing smoke at you, boys. I'm not blowing smoke.
Yeah.
What I've seen could be...
go ahead, Mitch. I mean,
scheme.
Yeah.
No, scheme, attacking you, talent. There's the corners tackle, the safeties cover. The linebackers are smart and tough, and they're coming. And with Chris Jones re-signing, which was the biggest signing of any free agent probably in the NFL offseason, you throw that in with we get Charles Omenihu back from injury at some point, maybe a while, but Karloftis is better. Mike Dann is better. And we kept everybody on the defensive line for the most part. So I'm just telling you, that group, we're excited. We're going for it. We had a real shot at getting three in a row.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to follow up on that, the big talk, of course, on the defense this offseason is not having Legarius Sneed, not having Willie Gay Jr., but some of these guys that are moving into those roles conceivably. I was a little, not really surprised, but it was interesting to me that it wasn't like there were, you know, any kind of major free agency signings to replace Sneed or Gay. It must mean that Spagnuolo is pretty confident in these guys that are coming up.
Shamari Connor becomes paramount in this discussion, the second year corner slash safety combo from Virginia Tech. And he started to come on last year in a big way. Now, with Sneed also, the answer isn't always just a one for one replacement. Spags has got so many more things put in now where there's a combination of corners and safeties and nickels and dimes that it's different. He's changed a bunch of stuff. And these guys are so smart that they picked it up. Not that they'll be perfect, but, man, they got a chance to be good. So I'm with you. That is one of my areas of concern, is you're taking away an elite defender in Sneed. But I also see where there's a really possible solution to that, and they're on it. So, there's guys you really have. Nazi Johnson coming back from injury could be very impactful as a nickel and a dime back. And then the continued maturation, Trent McDuffie, who becomes one of the top 3 to 5 corners in the NFL.
That is really exciting to hear. That's interesting. We're gonna watch that in training camp. I think it's the top story on the roster. Mitch, real quick, I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about college football. Your Wildcats
sure
look on the verge of something special. But it's not just that. And you know, as the Kansan of the year, let's be nice to the Jayhawks for a minute, as you're a K-Stater. This college football season with them collectively, I mean, I've been here a decade now. It's by far, to me, the most, you know, exciting coming into a year. But we're looking at potentially historic stuff. You got these two teams that can compete now in an expanded playoff. They could both get in. I mean, it's wild. What have you thought of this, you know, explosion for college football and all the changing landscape for not just your Wildcats, but for KU as well?
Well, and you add to that the new Big 12, and it's, you know, it's a wild card. Who knows what it's going to be like without OU and Texas and some really good teams coming in. Utah's really good. BYU can be really good. Arizona looks like they're really good and loaded. So there's just a lot of excitement and uncertainty about it. But for K-State, I mean, the Wichita metro area now gets lit up with Avery Johnson, who has a chance to be spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And a kiss, you know, the pride of Mays. But then you got the pride of Derby coming back and Dylan Edwards to join up with those two guys join up. And it's very exciting. Then you're throwing DJ Giddens, a kid at Jackson City. they got to get their offensive line put together. But with, I was with Coach Klieman a couple, three different times this summer, different events, and they feel like they've got that kind of in hand. But they have a tough schedule. We'll see, but it's exciting. And Kansas, Lance Leipold. First of all, I think it starts with the AD at KU, who's from Dodge City, so he cares about football. And caring about football is the first thing. You can say you do, but until you commit resources and you go get a coach like Leipold, who's very good, Lance Leipold's good. I was with him on a couple of occasions this summer. And to have the guys that they've got, have a Devin Neal, who's an impact running back, they've just built their roster up on both sides of the ball with athletes. There weren't many on the scouting sheets to look at KU for quite a while. There are now. I mean, there's NFL prospects on that roster. They're going to be good. So the fact that, you know, when Mangino made his run in, what, 07, 8, 9, right in there, K-State was mired in Ron Prince. And that wasn't – so those two weren't moving the same – you know, moving forward at the same time. And Leipold and Klieman are both good friends. They're both very similar in their approaches. I think Coach Klieman has our iPad because K-State runs a lot of stuff the Chiefs run. That's why it's exciting for Avery Johnson. But with Daniels, the quarterback at KU coming back from injury, looks like he's ready to go. Cole Ballard, I think, is a really good backup. Chris Ballard, his dad, was with us before being GM of the Colts. But, yes, there should be reason for excitement and anticipation of the college football season.
One more from me, Mitch, going back to this offense for Kansas City this season. There was so much talk last year about Travis Kelce and about how, you know, in some cases he was battling, you know, health issues and, you know, maybe didn't get, you know, quite the results from a, at least a stat line perspective that we had become accustomed to with him. But now that you've got some of these other wide receivers out there like Hollywood Brown and, you know, assuming health, Xavier Worthy, in your mind, what are you expecting from Travis Kelce? Are you seeing an opportunity for him to really feast on opposing defenses? Of, you know, and we know the relationship, of course, that he has with Patrick Mahomes, but having a little bit more support out there from the wide receiver position has got to help him, right?
Well, I'll take it even further, and that's more help in the tight end room. I'm as excited about the tight end room as you guys are about the wide receiver room. Here's why. Jared Wiley, the kid out of TCU, is a stud. You know, we lost Blake Bell, the pride of Bishop Carroll, who's in the end of his career, but what a great career he had. But Jared Wiley's a stud. He's a red zone machine. We need help for Travis Kelce. We found him. Noah Gray appears to be moving forward, and then we get Irv Smith Jr. from the Bengals. That's four starting caliber tight ends all in the same room. Travis Kelce can have an impact on a game when he never touches the ball. And so we look at a stat line and think about his effectiveness, and we have to be careful to look at maybe a qualitative stat where what does he do to affect the entire game? Teams are not going to be able to draw defenses to him like they have been the last 2 years because of the back third threat. That goes back to our discussion six paragraphs ago. But even more so, you will see three tight ends. I expect four tight ends to make this roster if everybody's healthy. That could be an answer to a Rashee Rice suspension at some point, is that your tight ends become loaded up, but they are also guys that can run every level or every route tree, every route on the tree, 1 through 9. But then you get into the red zone, and it's not just Kelce, Kelce, Kelce. And because Jared Wiley, you should be very excited about him, the rookie out of TCU.
That's the one. He gets lost in the mix, so that's great to hear too. Mitch, yep. We know you got a lot coming up. Congratulations on the Kansan of the Year. Well-deserved. We know how awesome that is. You represent this state well, so it's perfect. Enjoy what little time you get here before training camp, and then we're going to go again and see if they can't make it three in a row. But thanks for being here with us this morning.
You got it. Yeah, no, it starts next week. After I land from D.C., I go to Newton, Iowa. There's a huge Hy-Vee event that I help co-host for 4 days, and then we start camp. The rookies and quarterbacks will start first the next week, so it's on. It's here. I'll just leave this with you guys, and you can open up for discussion. Where I'm concerned, obviously, is the left tackle discussion, and then you can talk about Snead, but I've given you some answers for that. I don't lose sleep over that one. The third down back role, the Jerick McKinnon role, He's no longer here. He's been so valuable. That is one. And then, guys, at some point, maybe I jump back on with you to talk about the new kickoff rule. It's wild. It will decide games. We'll get it. I'll get into the numbers in it some point when we have another interview. But I'm telling you, it could be a strength and it could be a weakness for every team in the league, including the Chiefs.
Let's do it again for camp. We'll do it. Left tackle's my biggest concern, too, so I do want to get into that. So it's a date. We'll do it again soon. Mitch, we really, really appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a wild tease because who knows when I'm on with you next at camp. But the point is,
we'll set it up. We'll set it up.
I'm just telling you, the new kickoff, I will give you numbers that will blow your mind of what's going to have this new kickoff. Nobody's thinking about it. Nobody's talking about it. And just get ready.
Well, the Chiefs are. We know they are because Justin Reed might be kicking it. We're looking forward to it. All right. Well, now I'm excited.
Or Lewis Riesemann. Don't leave out Lewis Riesemann.
I know. I got to see it. I got to see it with him. I can't wait to just see it and understand it. And maybe you can explain it better. I didn't watch the XFL, so it's all trying to read and visualize this. I'm just glad it's back. Bring the kickoff back, baby. It's going to be great.
Well, they're back. It's just going to look. It won't look like any kickoff you've ever seen. At any level. I'm just telling you, boys, get ready. It's crazy. I've seen the Chiefs work on it all spring and summer, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, when fans see this, they're going to lose their mind.
Yes. Yes. All right. Mitch, travel safe. We'll do it again soon. Right, we'll get it set real quick. Kickoff talk. You heard it here coming on Sports Daily sometime in the next few weeks before training camp. All right, we're up against a break. We'll come back next hour. We'll react to some of the things Mitch Holthus had to say. Defense could be better. That's pretty wild to think about when you think about a three-peat. We'll also react to some of J.J. Piccolo's comments about the trade deadline, the Royals, their standing. What about Bobby Witt Jr. in the leadoff spot? I think we got our answer there, and it's a pretty good one, honestly. I didn't know what to expect there, but I think we got an exact answer. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks for joining us on KFH, of course, on our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, X, and on 12 News Connected. We'll be right back. Hour number two coming up.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.